Okay.
Hi, this is DeMarsh Rhodes from Indiana.
I didn't hear the recording went on. Did you?
It did. Let me turn it off and turn it back. Okay, it's on.
Weird. I didn't hear that at all.
Neither heard
that.
But it says it's on. So.
Okay. Yeah, I see that it's on. Anyway. Okay. So, hello everybody. It's August 17, 2016, and this is the Courtroom Observer conference call. And what I was saying earlier was that we did a calling campaign and we did a faxing campaign. And to me, I think Lydia was really happy with how that went, and she's still rebutting them, but I think they're getting more, you know, doubtful about what they're doing every day. That's what I'm hoping too. So does anybody have any cases that they want to bring up or that they are helping anybody on?
I have a case that I'm working on, but this is not one of you. I'm just learning from you. I'm DeMarsh from Fort Wayne, and I would like to know how to handle if they should bring a summons to me. You did an excellent job of teaching me about what's it called? Where they come and take your stuff. But I'd like to know what things do I have to deal with a summons.
With a summons? Oh, well, yeah. You definitely have to answer it. I've had a few summonses myself, and they never went anywhere because I answered them it gives you like 20 or 30, it says it on the thing. When you get one, it tells you you need to respond within 20 days or 30 days or whatever it says. And when you respond, usually they kind of drop it. So,
Really?
Well, that's been my experience. Now, it may be, because mine, you know, yours might, is yours about mortgage or what?
No, mine is about the fact that I didn't do what they wanted me to when it come to judicial misconduct complaint.
Right. I remember that. Well, then you need to ask them to prove blah, 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 you know, you have to give them, they have 20 days to answer you. And then if they don't, then they're in default.
Okay, ask them, I want to write this down, to prove, how is that? Is that
well, right? You're going to ask them to
substantiate their
basically prove whatever they're, I mean, because I don't know what your your thing says, so whatever they're trying to tell you in the summons, whatever they're trying to tell you, you need to ask them for specific things for them to prove back to you or to prove cause or to, you know, that it's on their shoulders to prove to you.
Huh? Show cause, is that what you want?
To prove, I don't know what, it'd have to be exactly what it is that you're saying they didn't do or did do. I don't know what your paperwork says, so I wouldn't know.
No, I don't know what they're going to be charging me with either.
Well, what does it say in the summons?
No, I haven't received one yet. I know they have moved against me because of the Holy Spirit. I know that they have moved against me, and other people know it.
So if you haven't gotten a summons yet, then you can't really.
I haven't gotten a summons, but I'm preparing myself for that.
Well, then it's just the summons is just going to say you have 20 or 30 days to answer them, and you just answer it. And usually I haven't done your situation, but in mine, I've had, I don't know, probably four or five summonses, and I just answer them, and they drop it. But that, you know.
They're wanting $1,000 out of me.
Right, okay.
So just because I didn't follow their instructions. Well, their orders are not lawful. Everything they've done, they have not done one lawful thing.
Well, that's why most people are on this call.
Yeah. So I've been answering them. I've been responding. I've been, and they've ignored everything that I've said. Totally ignored.
Well, that's pretty much what they keep doing.
Yeah. So, but God has promised me He's going to make a reversal, and so I'm just preparing myself. And so, if the marshals deliver it, all I have to do is sign for it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you sign for it, and then you're going to answer it.
Okay. Okay.
So Carl, what were you going to say something?
In her case, we don't really know until their next step. So,
are you driving?
No, I'm not driving. I think the phone is just bad. I was going to say that, is this a little bit better, though?
Oh, that's way better, yeah.
Okay. What I was saying is that we won't really know until they move against her directly what the next action should be.
Right.
So, until we get new information, we can't really give you much more than what we have already. So.
Well, I have about 34, 35 things that they've done and not done.
Filing.
Yeah, all violations, a whole list of things. And actually, what people don't realize is, in 1861, our government was actually closed Sinadi, S-I-N-E-D-I-E, two words, that mean no reopening date. We have not had our own government since that date. In 1871, they opened the federal corporation. Well, it wasn't our corporation. It was theirs. So we really do not have a government.
Right.
And there's two names,
right.
Two different constitutions.
Yeah, we actually most everybody on the call knows this.
Okay.
Because we have it in our free civics course.
Okay.
If you can, I know you didn't have a computer or anything, so.
Yeah. I got a computer, but no hookup because it takes money.
Right.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Well,
thank you.
Is there anybody else that has anything they want to share?
I do want to thank you for the help that you have given because it's been very good. I appreciate it.
Good. You're welcome.
I thought maybe it might be. I don't, you know, I wasn't sure.
Okay.
Well,
didn't she say before that she had filed against the judge?
Yeah.
Like, what is it called when you file? Writ of error?
Yeah, I've done that many times.
Well, what I've been reading, and I don't know whether what I'm reading is right or not. I'm so new to this, but I just wanted to bring it up for the ones who do know a lot. I've been reading about something that there is no more writ of error just because of what she just said. And so what I'm reading about says, excuse me for blubbering this up, but I'm not sure how to say it, but they're saying that you can file something, I'm trying to find it here, something in the nature of a writ of error, and that flips it back over on the judge where the judge has to prove that he did it the right way, and it doesn't cost the person anything.
That's doing the fiction's way of doing things.
Yeah,
that's cooperating with the fiction. And see, everything that they're doing against us is not lawful. There isn't a thing that they're doing that's lawful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but if you want to not pay the $1,000 and not get locked up, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying this is what I've been reading, and it reminded me of your case.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Sure,
I didn't know
I'm praying for you.
Paper. I wasn't aware that there was another type of paper, but I don't want to play their games.
Okay. Just bringing it up, just in case.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm yielding.
So what I did was make a claim against them in the judicial misconduct complaint department in Chicago, the appeals court. And of course, they're ignoring everything. I wonder how many of them pay any attention to anything that you're writing. I do know this. I'm believing there are going to be judges that will be getting arrested. I believe that there is going to be somebody rise up and take their backbone and go and do it. but I don't know when and how and that sort of thing. But the Lord has assured me that there's going to be some arrests made. That will change the course of, events. I thought you might like to hear that.
Well, that's what we've been hoping.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is there are currently members of the NLA who are running for sheriff, and people very supportive of us that might actually make these arrests. So I just want people to keep that in mind. If they're in, I think, St. Louis, Robert Overhaul, he's someone who's really supportive and a member, and he's got a really good shot of getting the sheriff position. And then there's also this other guy named Richard in New Hampshire. I'm not quite sure where Richard is in New Hampshire. But if one or both of those people make it in and become sheriff in their county, it will definitely be a game changer. So I just want people to be reminded of that you know, when this election comes, things might change if, you know, we can get these people elected.
Right.
Are there any general assemblies in the NLA yet?
I mean, but you let it.
Any what?
General assemblies?
I'm just trying to say...
You mean to be...
Or local common law grand juries?
No, not yet.
There won't be... Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, the reason for that is because we want to get ready. We want to do it wide because they'll crush us like a bug if we're together. I'm sorry, if we're separate. So, if, you know, we have one local common law grand jury county. They'll try to go after it with everything they have. So we want to be ready and do it on a massive scale, try to scare judges, to do the right thing. And that's why we don't really have it local right now.
When do you think that might be likely to happen?
Well, I don't really know. It's up to the people, really. One thing that we need people to do is we need people to make phone calls. And unfortunately, I've had a very difficult time trying to find people who are willing to make phone calls. So what I am going to put together as well, in addition to the website committee you might have seen online, is I'm going to try to put together a phone call committee. And the reason for the phone calls is because we really need people to organize and call people. And unfortunately, that seems to be pretty difficult for a lot of people to do. You know, once we start getting phone calls, start organizing, start figuring out who needs what, it should expedite things and make things go a little bit quicker and allow us to get to that point quicker. Also, too, we have the election as well. Right now, we don't have anybody that I know of who's going to be 100% friendly in making these arrests. So if we don't have any sheriff or any person who's going to do that, we need to wait until we get that. We might get that this election. So if we do move forward and things do happen, you know, first we got to get the committees of safety, then we got to get people in. It might not be until next year, but it could be sooner, in early next year. It could be much later, depending on how things go. We don't really have a timetable for that right now, though.
Are there any counties, you know, one or more counties that have a good population of NLA members that are better likely prepared because of their numbers to establish that and to get their share?
Well,
what state, what county, for example?
Well, it would be counties with a friendly sheriff. Unfortunately, We don't have a county right now where we have a friendly sheriff and we can get people to form a grand jury right away because, first off, the sheriff really is the one who has the authority to call the grand jury. And so, if you know, on a local level, so if the sheriff doesn't call the grand jury or, you know, if there's not support from within the county for the grand jury, then you can't really do it. You know, a lot of what we do is very suppressed. A lot of, because it is correct and true, you know, they play all these games and we don't want to go out and attempt to do. So to answer your question,
the sheriff would not have to be the one to call the grand jury, would he?
No, the sheriff doesn't. It's my understanding the sheriff doesn't need to call the grand jury, but the sheriff can call the grand jury.
Right, okay. But if you think about the status of we the people, see, we're all co-tenants in common with as the sovereignty of the country. So with that status, any one of us could call a grand jury for a local grand jury, you know. And it would be easier if there were more members or interested people, whether they're NLA members or not, you know.
Right, I understand that, but we want to try to avoid the stigma of masquerading as a court because, you know, we could, a lot of times, I remember out in Oregon where there was a certain individual who was filing paperwork and saying there was a grand jury created and none of this stuff actually happened. You know, it was like, they did all these things behind the scenes and because it's private, I don't need to tell you anything. And, you know, it gave a bad taste in people's mouths and, you know, convince people that you're right, too. So,
There should be a, the body's right there for each position that's needed and so forth, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right now I guess we're not ready to mobilize because without anybody actually supporting arrest, there's no point in doing indictments, if that makes any sense.
You know what?
Because it's,
You're familiar with Brent Winters, are you?
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with him, yes.
The common lawyer, yeah. I submitted a question to him on his website, and I haven't got a response back. Maybe I should go back to his website rather than waiting for it to come to me, but I asked him what the likelihood would be if he and some others of a good common law knowledge, I didn't word it exactly that way, but I did include him and others, would form or accept a class action suit on behalf of all people who were interested in being a part of it. You know, for example, the charge could be identity theft from the all caps name. They used that against all of us, so that'd be appropriate for a class action suit, would it not?
Well, the issue comes down to you can have your class action lawsuit, you're not going to get anywhere because they won't allow you to. Generally what happens is if you get too close, if you succeed too much, they will do anything to arrest you, to threaten you, to lower your standing, to rid of you, get rid of the case. They'll just dismiss it without any claim or reasoning. They'll completely steal it and do all these crazy things. So you could do that, but...
I realize what you're saying, but from my understanding, the common law court is a superior court to the de facto court. And especially since the de facto court is an Admiralty maritime jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a remedy from that foreign jurisdiction too, see, and that's where the common law would come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They totally ignore it.
Yeah, they
anyway, something to think about and to banter about.
Yeah, definitely. No, I appreciate your thoughts and you coming on and talking. You know, we have filed a lot of stuff and we have informed a lot of people that, oh, hey, listen, look at all these habeas corpuses that have been ignored by us.
Oh, it's all right.
Look at all this fraud that is being presented. And they all know it, too. I mean, we've sent letters to the Supreme Court, to all the senators. We've informed them of RICO and fraud everywhere. And yet, they have done nothing about it. So,
well, I'm not trying to be the expert and know-it-all here, but
mm-hmm.
considering that that quite often these, you know, I've heard that there's successes with the habeas corpus approach. How much, I'm not sure, but beyond that, it's been pretty well ignored. And perhaps from the standpoint of jurisdiction, they are one jurisdiction and we are another jurisdiction. So that's why we should go off on our own and not ask for their favor. But if we could build our own membership in the common law in a particular area where it's already strong, and then go from there.
Carl,
that way,
right.
They should not be able to invade our jurisdiction because that's a foreign jurisdiction to us. Theirs is.
Yeah, so I understand, and I guess in some ways that's sort of what we're going toward. You know, it's the people who have the power. But again, unless somebody's going to make the arrest, you know, it doesn't matter.
We don't have to arrest them necessarily. If we're doing our own thing, what we would do is allow our members to come in to our common law grand jury and be, you know, it would be an alternative jurisdiction to the foreign jurisdiction of the Admiralty Maritime. And
well, that's
so,
what we have set up now. We
see,
have
it's more of a mindset, right,
yeah.
Carl? It's more of a mindset is what we're trying. It's like the blue code of silence. It's
mm-hmm.
everybody knows that the criminality is there, and our military even knows that they can do something about it if the American people don't see it as a coup. And it's mm-hmm. a really important thing that we do our committee of safeties and we start talking down in the lower levels, because they will act if they feel that we're behind them. They right now, it's no one feels that they're behind. Even the good judges don't feel that somebody's going to stand behind them. And we see so many people get suicided, and you know, all the different problems that we've had in the country. So you're correct, and yes, the common law is what we're shooting to push the mindset into people, that they understand the difference between the Admiralty law, the common law. But the main thing is we get our committees of safety and get people talking about this patriotism that we all actually are all feeling, but we don't know how to articulate it and talk even to our sheriff and to our neighbors about it anymore. The television has ruined everything, and we're, you know. So you're correct, though. We are mandamuses. All the paperwork that John sends out constantly, those fax machines that are running, that's the important stuff. They know we're coming. So don't think we're not doing anything. It's just that we have this silent approach that we have to come with a little different angles, because they will. They just arrest you. We have poor friends in Oregon. Everybody's in jail. God bless them. We got to get them out of there.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I make a comment?
Surely.
Was he done? I'm sorry if I interrupted.
No, not at all. I'm done. I yield.
Yeah, this is Jan in Kansas. And I just wanted to make a very serious suggestion that, like the man that was talking before, I would really love it if we could start practicing how to do a common law jury. Like, we just got off the phone, some of us just got off the phone, with practicing with the ham radios, how to, you know, do certain things. If we could do that same type of thing, I think it'd be really helpful to get the people together.
You mean the real people's court? No, we talked about this already. We absolutely should be doing this. The real people's court. We should be practicing. You're absolutely right.
Well, can we do it?
Sure. We practice.
We can practice. I'm not opposed to practice. I'm just, you know.
You can't do anything, harm anyone. You can't do anything to anyone. But you can do completely, you know, just practice.
Well, we can go through the processes and
I don't see how there could be anything wrong with that.
We could go through the processes and procedures, and those of us who are interested, we could learn what papers we'd be dealing with and what's the process, how do you do a presentment, and, you know, we could learn the whole system, and then when it does come time for us to initiate the action, then we'll all be ready.
I'm going to pretend I'm John for a second. He would say, yes, we need a committee for that. We are a school. The NLA is a school. We need a committee for that. And yes, you're right. We do need to do that. And as soon as anybody would like to head that up and grab a piece of the website, a page, start a committee, absolutely, ham radio. I think that's a great idea. That's something to practice on the ham radios. Give us something to do while we're on them. That'd be great.
Oh, well, I wasn't suggesting that, but I was just saying that the ham radio people are all getting together once a week on a call like this. And then what we did tonight was just practice. What's the protocol? You know, how do you give your call number and all that kind of thing? That was what I was getting at, was if we could have a call once a week for the court people, I mean, not the court people, for the people who intend to be involved with the common law grand jury once it's up and active, if we could just be trained now how to do it, why we'd already be trained and ready to go. That was my suggestion.
I think we should do that in each of our committee of safeties. We should probably be even mentioning that in our committees. That's great. Great thinking there.
Yeah, and I definitely like that idea. And that would just start it up. We could figure out a time to do it and go over what the role of a grand jury administrator should be. I'll talk to different people, talk to John about what it's about, and kind of formulate a good lesson for people. But I'll definitely keep that in mind.
That would be fantastic, Carl. And just one more comment before I yield. I have not been on the America Again call, but I've been on about three times. I don't know why I started listening, but I've been on about three times. And the first time I listened, it kind of turned me off a little bit because they said, oh, the common law grand juries, they don't work and all that. And I thought, well, if they don't work, why are you talking about it? You know, I was kind of feeling a little bit insulted by it, just listening. But then I did listen again Sunday night, and they were talking about having grand jury, I mean common law grand juries. And so my point is this, is that it is, even though it's been set aside and even though it's been put down for so many years and maybe even been made fun of and that kind of thing, as things get more and more exposed of what's going on in the government, I think more and more people are seeing that that's really a really good recourse for us. And I think that the support for it is going to grow. And so I'll yield now.
Right. Let me write that down and jot that down. Laura, would you mind taking over for a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to go to
okay.
you as well. But I'm going to note that and write that down. I appreciate that.
Okay. Anybody
Emma?
Else?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Crystal.
How you doing?
All right.
Okay, I've been ripping and running. I've been going through a whole lot of personal things. But anyways, this is what's going on right now. Saturday, the TV news reporter wants to do an interview about these illegal foreclosure homes. So I'm going to try to get some of the people here from Connecticut here at my house at 10 o'clock. Okay? I was definitely going to try to give John a call tomorrow. I did mention to you about that quick claim deed.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened now, they've been changing the documents. So we went to the college, Quinnipiac, and we got the documents. So we're going to fax it over to you. So this will be a basic standard that you can file quick claim, life use, what have you, and just have it notarized, file it. You know, so this way when people, especially when people are elderly or whatever the case is, you know, if your children are grown, you're grown, saying, like, you know, let me get everything out my name, because God forbid if you should get sick, you got to go into a convalescent home or a hospital. This way they cannot touch your property. Another thing I think I mentioned to you the other night about it was one of the deeds, and I said it came back to my memory about P.T. Barnum and how he donated the city of Bridgeport, the whole Seaside Park, for 400 years, so they can't do anything with that. And also, that would fall, like, under air property or what have you. So, but I'm trying to get all that other stuff together for you, too. If we can find those documents, I'm going to find them for that. Hello? Can you hear me?
I'm here. I can hear you. Uh-huh.
Okay. Great. There's static going on. Okay. But, that is basically all, you know. And we're still trying to, we're getting people recruiting and all that stuff too here. Okay?
That sounds good.
Yeah. All righty. Okay. Oh, it's just our phone here. All righty, but as I said, that's, and anything else, I'll just get back in touch with these on.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. And it also, hopefully, when it happens this week, it will probably blow out all the rest of the stations and stuff, too.
Wow.
Because we're next to, you know, New York and all that. And it's covered in New York, some parts of Jersey in here.
Great.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All righty.
Anybody else? Got any
cases?
Okay, go ahead. Hi, Kelly.
Hello. Hey, this is Kelly in Missouri.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up something about the COS. Well, there's another thing called Convention of States. I don't know if people are familiar with this. But they also go by COS, so I was wondering if there might be some confusion coming in the near future with these two groups.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't know if somebody had brought that up. But since you guys were talking about foreclosures and stuff, I wanted to mention Sheriff David Clark over in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know who he is anyway.
Okay, Everyone knows he's not constitutional, obviously, by now, correct?
He's not? Oh, okay. Well, maybe
no.
I didn't know. What's happened with him?
Yeah.
What is
if you'll go to see, I've been telling people, you can go to these sheriff's sites and check their inmate rosters and check their foreclosures and all this kind of stuff. And Sheriff Clark has 150 foreclosures on his docket.
Wow.
He does it every Monday. He also has many, many people held in his jail unconstitutionally.
Okay.
He recently spoke out and said that the habeas corpus should be abolished.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and if you've been watching the news, you know what's going on in Milwaukee. Instead of him calling his militia, his posse, he called in the National Guard.
Really?
And they also have a curfew. So they're basically under martial law right now under Sheriff David Clark. I just want to make sure that nobody's having false hopes about him, because he's Sheriff Mack and Arpaio, and them, they're all rolled up into one. They're dogs and pony shows what they are. It's pretty sickening, because these guys portray themselves to be something that they're not.
Right.
And the reason why I like bringing him up is because the people in Wisconsin should be furious about now. And hopefully they can, I mean, if somebody can be reached, maybe it's him, you know, maybe it is him. But there's another thing to look at over in Kentucky. There's a sheriff over there, I think his name's Pyatt or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he's arrested judges, I think, a couple times in the last couple years.
Really?
And, I never hear anybody from the call from Kentucky that we can get, you know, like somebody to get into his ear, because he's already been doing it. I mean, you do see judges get arrested from time to time, but it's usually not for misconduct. In that case, it was misconduct. It was some kind of money theft, fraud, some kind of thing like that. But I just wanted to bring that up, especially about the COS, because that convention of states is a whole different ballgame. And if we say COS and they're saying COS, and we may want to make sure we don't get our wires crossed.
Do you know what convention of states is?
Yes, they are. Convention of states is they're trying to call a constitutional convention. And you know, there's a, like in Missouri where I'm at, if you read the Constitution, there's a thing called the Convention of the People. Okay, I don't know if any other states have this. I urge people to read their state constitutions and to go back and look at their organic constitutions and look how much is added. You know, like ours was like 20-something pages in 1875, and now it's 150 pages. So then you have all your exceptions and your buts and ands and snake oil and magic and mirrors and, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I think it's important for people to know their state constitution, because a lot of this stuff, like the lady was bringing up earlier about the statutes, using them against them, you know, if they don't want to follow their own state constitution, you know they're not going to follow the federal, because
right,
they just won't. But if they claim they're not going to follow the state constitution, then I don't know. I don't know the best way to expose them. You know, I try to get out what I know, like with Clark, but
I'm glad
he's going down a dangerous path. You know, he's
right.
Basically got martial law in his city right now.
Wow.
Got a curfew. So I just wanted everybody to be aware, and have a great night. Over and out.
What's the reason for the curfew, is he saying?
Oh, well, because of the riot that went on, and they closed off the park, and they partitioned that off, and it's 11 o'clock curfew. I don't know if there's an age limit on it. I think there might be, but a curfew is a curfew. That's martial law.
Yeah, you're right.
It really is. I mean, I just want people to know. I try to get a few things out here and there, because I hate to see people get confused and still have faith in somebody like him or Mack. You know, Richard Mack, he's just not. All the sheriffs around here, oh, yeah, we joined the Sheriff Mack's Constitutional Sheriff's Association, and it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything if you don't follow it.
The
more I uncover about Clark, he just gets deeper and deeper. I mean, just the statement that you're going to make that habeas corpus should be abolished, that's enough. If you don't, you know, that's really going over the edge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure he has his reasons for it, but not legitimate. There's nothing legitimate. There's no legitimate reason to say that.
Right.
So I just wanted to kind of especially touch on that COS thing because I think we've had confusion in the past. Some people thought we were somebody else or they thought that they were us and they were acting out and doing their own thing. And I just hopefully we don't have that happen again because it sets us back every time it happens.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I forgot to mention, because Connecticut, there's three states in the United States that don't even apply the constitutional laws, and Connecticut's one of the states. And when I mentioned about the sheriff, they said, oh, no, we don't have sheriffs, we have marshals. You know, oh, no, this is what we have, and this is, you know, it's like the, I also found out, what is it, the deputy? Wait a minute, what's the attorney that's in the court? He has more authority than some of the judges.
Prosecuting attorney?
The prosecuting attorney, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and I said, I was really shocked, and as a matter of fact, there's one attorney I know, he said, I have to quit all this because this is crazy. I've never heard of such, you know? He goes, they got the marshals and all the other states, the sheriffs. And I'm like, oh, you know? And I guess if they don't comply to the way they want to go, I guess they try to blackball the attorneys here and try to disbar them.
Right. I'm sure. Well,
yeah,
all the coasts around the whole country said that they were constitutional free zones.
Yes, that is correct.
What is that? I don't understand.
So many miles off the coast.
Sorry? The Constitution doesn't apply along the coast of the United States.
Oh, okay.
100 miles from the coast, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But, see, they're the ones who are making the laws.
You're right. That don't mean anything anyway, really, except they're the ones that have the guns and the handcuffs.
And they, and also...
we have more guns.
They don't even have a license. They have a juris, and it's under Great Britain, you know? And they are the debt collectors. As a matter of fact, on my papers, on my legal documents, I said, you are nothing but the debt collector. And you know what he responded back to me?
What?
They wrote, we are the debt collector. And I got that in writing from them. I wrote, I would like to see my sworn notarized affidavits. When did I borrow money and take money from you?
Right, exactly.
You know? So.
Well, hey, let me ask you this. If they don't follow the U.S. Constitution, surely Connecticut has a state constitution.
Well, they're making up as they go.
Are you familiar with the Connecticut state constitution at all? Because I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Okay, that might be something to look at if you're there and you're dealing with anything there. But I just find it very interesting to go into the state constitutions and pretty much everything you need is right there. I mean, you could use the U.S. anytime you wanted.
Well, you don't even have a sheriff.
Well, all right. And there's St. Louis here. They don't have a sheriff in St. Louis County in Missouri either. He doesn't act.
Do you have the marshals? We have the U.S. marshals now.
We have marshals in the federal court, but we don't have marshals in the counties, no.
No, see, that's what they have here, just marshal courts.
There's no sheriffs at all in Connecticut? At all, right?
I think there's like three or six, but it's just like when I tried to approach them, oh, no, this is not, that has nothing to do with us. So it's just like you don't even want to get into no kind of confrontation because they get very arrogant. They're walking around with this title, and they was sworn in, but they will not help you in no kind of way.
So we need to figure out a way to stop their paychecks. See?
Yeah.
You stop feeding the beast, it gets weak.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets weak, then that's in.
Well, I guess when I was talking to Lydia Radin, who's really going after the judge and the marshal and the clerk, she's saying that the strategy with National Liberty Alliance is we're not to take over. If people aren't being criminals, but they feel they are basically working for criminals and they don't really like it, but they, you know, they're getting a paycheck because they didn't know when they went to school and got a degree that they were going to start working for a bunch of criminals, you know, because there are honest people that work within there or that don't like what they're seeing. We're not there to take over their jobs. I feel like we're breaking them out of jail too. And but she said that what she's experienced is they think that we're there to just totally throw them out on their ear and take their money away from them. Now, I would say the criminal ones we are, the ones that are just totally, you know, got their feet in the mud, yes. But the other ones that we don't want to redo the whole thing, we need the bodies too.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was also incident that happened here in Missouri about a month ago, and a deputy some guys were running down the road without their headlights on at night, and the deputy was trying to pull them over, and they ran, and the driver stopped and let the passenger out, and the passenger ran into the forest, and then the deputy stopped and he ran into the forest, and they both killed each other in the forest.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and then, not a good thing. You don't run into the forest, okay? That's a bad, yeah. You got to be smarter than that. Just don't run in, you know. But anyways, long story short, the driver of the car, he went and hid, and he had some kind of warrant for him, you know, like some kind of traffic driver's deal, driver's license and registration and the fiction and all this. So they end up catching him and they put him in jail, and it was a couple counties over, and the county next to me, they actually brought the case down here for an impartial judge as a change of venue. And the judge down here, his name is Calvin Holden, and they had four counts on the driver of the car of second degree murder.
Oh my
God. And the driver of the car, you know, of course, he wasn't involved in the murder. It wasn't a planned thing. They didn't plan on killing him. It just happened. But anyways, the jury, they had the jury, went all the way to jury trial, and the jury went to deliberate, and they came back in 10 minutes with a guilty verdict, all four counts. And the judge in Greene County, Missouri, Calvin Holden, overturned the jury decision. And he did rule under common law, whether he knows it or not, because he claimed that they weren't following the proper procedure and they did not have probable cause. And, you know, he wouldn't come out. And, of course, maybe he doesn't understand it. Maybe he does. But they obviously took that. They're going to take that to an appeals court. And I'm very curious to see what the appeals court does, if they stand by this judge here or not. Because in my view, the judge was right to overturn the jury verdict.
Well, you know what? I think
amen.
I think a lot of them are, well, because since all the letters have been written out, people don't want to get involved, you know? As a matter of fact, because in our state, we found out that the governor hires all the judges. And it's a big family and friend thing that gets the jobs. You know?
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so when you ask, well, who's their boss, this and that, everything falls back on our governor. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but he's under big investigation. And he was supposed to be, I guess, if Hillary got into office, he was supposed to be joining her. But I guess she's under investigation, and our governor's under investigation. And last week, I think five or six of the top people under Dan Malloy, they all resigned, and they all jumped ship because they are being investigated. I guess they said it was in the papers by the FBI. So I really don't know what's going on, but it seemed like everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like every man's on their own at this point. So whatever they're doing, they're going to be holding their own weight at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them are resigning, and I heard there's a lot of judges and things that everybody's starting to resign.
Good.
Yeah, they're feeling the pressure, I think.
That's what I was kind of thinking too. I don't know.
Know what they do when the criminals like they are. You always read about it, and they'll resign, and then there won't be any case against them. Oh, they resigned, and everything's fine, and they stole a bunch of money, but it's all right. They resigned, so isn't that good enough? No, it's not good enough for us, not the people. We want people to be held accountable 100%. But I just thought that, somebody might enjoy hearing that a judge actually did ruin the common law, whether he recognized it or not. He did it, and I commend him for it. Hopefully he sticks with his guns and the appeals court doesn't, send it back or whatever they might do. I don't know that they can overrule him, but wouldn't they have to send it back?
Yeah. Well, this is just a grand jury. Am I correct on that?
But
this was a grand jury case, yes.
So, the worst thing that happens is your story that you're saying is he goes to the trial jury and they figure it out there, and if everybody convicts him there, then he gets arrested and put in jail. In some ways, I kind of like this part of the common law grand jury where you have a grand jury first, and then you actually have the trial jury. So,
And this was a trial jury. It was a stacked. They came back in 10 minutes with a guilty verdict of 4 counts of second-degree murder.
This was a trial jury, you're saying?
Yes, it was a statutory trial jury. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it wasn't a grand jury, but it was a trial jury, and it was all done locally here, and they just stack them up. You know how they do with the prosecutor fixes the game, and they knew they were going to convict him, and I was just surprised that the judge stepped up and did the right thing for once.
And that was
I want to contact him and let him know that we're behind you. When you do things like this and you're ruling under the common law, whether you know or not, you did. You stood up and said they didn't follow that procedure, and they didn't have probable cause to pull the car over at all. So when people run off into the woods or they run off into the street and the cops are chasing them, yeah, there's going to be gunplay. It's going to happen. People are scared now, very scared.
Exactly. And one other thing, too, before I forget. It's CNBC. It's called American Greed. American Greed, CNBC.com. And they have every kind of story on there, and they're all true. On the crimes and criminal cases, from malpractice, doctors embezzling, the insurance fraud, mortgage foreclosures, the Enron, Bernie Madoff, and there's this one, his name is Mark Greer, attorney Mark Greer. Oh my God, he was the top. And then they also had Shelton Silver. All these are the top attorneys that they all did all these Ponzi schemes on mortgages, bank frauds, and all this other stuff. And these were like the little masterminds behind it. So, I mean, and you can go on the website, but they had Bernie Madoff, Shelton Silvers, who was just indicted, and he's been an attorney for like 43 years, and he's like one of the masterminds of all this bank fraud, mortgage fraud, and all this stuff. And all this stuff started around 1978. But it's an excellent piece of history. And when I was sitting there watching it, it comes on like 3 or 4 in the morning. But when I've been watching it, I said, wow, it's like tying in exactly what, what we're learning from the National Liberty Alliance.
Well, thanks. Hey, it's getting around. It's going to be 10 o'clock any minute.
Okay.
So wrap it up now and stop the recording.
All right.